night. Prayer for God in my life. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him.
Good to have everybody here today. Steve, you're here. I'm glad to know that as well. Do want to hear a little bit from you this morning, but first I want, where is the 10-year anniversary people?
Right here.
Jim and Barb are off 10 years of marriage today. You got an announcement for the record,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Here you go.
It's on the 8th. But we're celebrating today.
Oh, your anniversary is?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Thanks all of you for all you're doing, for everything in this church, but this is gonna be our second rummage sale. And we had one about 5 years ago, and it went to our children's program, and the money will all go for our Joy Kids Joy Us program and our Bible school program. So there is a sign-up sheet on the refrigerator, and I have a couple of requests. Look at that if you have time. There's one day that we have the 6th, and an awful thing has happened to me. I'm on jury duty for the month of June, and so I'm hoping we have no trials. It will be a trial if I have to go. But anyway, on the 6th, if anybody could help out, I think there's just one person signed up, and I can't remember who it is that signed up for taking in things that we are, you know, things that you want to give to the rummage sale. And then also, Bonnie Belkin has donated. She and her husband Orville are giving a outdoor couch, and we just need somebody to go pick it up and on Nature Trail. And I have the address and the telephone number to call Bonnie. And if there'd be somebody with a truck that would come and pick it up and see me, please. And then help setting up is Monday through Thursday. And we have a problem, but we not have a problem, but if we have anything left over, which might be, we may have nothing, maybe if any of you could help us on Monday to take things to the Cherished Again to give to that organization, that would be good. But please look at the refrigerator and see if there's a time you can sign up. The garage sale is on Saturday and from Help Me Girls.
Friday
and Saturday. And we will have some refreshments for people that come, but we hope we have a big crowd in the community. And so anything else, ladies, that are on the committee that we need to mention? Okay, thank you so much. Yes?
What's the hour of the sale?
The hour of the sale, okay, it is Friday 2 to 7. 2 to 7, and on Saturday, it is, I think it's 12 to 8:30 to 12. I can't find it here. Okay, thanks a lot.
Pressure's on, Barb?
Yeah, right. Especially with the jury duty.
I got the same letter. I'm on jury duty too.
Are you really?
Waiting for a call.
Yes.
I might have to go down to Des Moines.
Oh no.
But I answered ways that they won't call me. At least I hope that. But anyway, I just kind of like, it's between now and September when they can call. That's the way life is sometimes. I'm going to get Steve here before we get going here.
I'm not sure I need the mic, but I'll take it in.
It's because of our Zoom people need to hear. That's
I got you. So I just want to ask for prayer. On Thursday, I'm taking off with my son Joshua for 2 weeks in Tanzania. It'll be my 59th trip. And we are doing some action-packed medical missions with, I think, 5 medical students, 3 pre-med, a gal from Calvin College, 2 kids from Dort, and a nurse and me are going to travel to a very remote area about 6 hours into the bush and have a medical outreach clinic under tents focusing on orthopedics, women's health care, and eye care. The Lions Club gave us 600 pairs of glasses. So we're going to try to match eyeglasses with people because no one has eyeglasses there. I mean, the most beautiful thing in the world is to see a 75-year-old Maasai woman. You give her a pair of glasses and she looks at her hand and she goes, I can read my Bible again. And they start to weep. So that's how such little things mean so much. And for the first time, in conjunction with our medical outreach, there'll be lines of 100, 200 yards, people coming, and then they get directed to orthopedics or eye care or general medicine. And then behind us, for the first time, we're going to have a table with a group of pastors who are going to pray for people and their infirmities and then hand them a tract that talks about who is STEM and who is Jesus. And so we're really excited about using Christ's example of healing and developing relationships through healing physically to then introduce spiritual healing. And so, and my son Joshua is also going to be there for 3 months. He's going to work at a medical school and teach physics to the local high schools. And so I would ask that you would pray that this would be a very meaningful spiritual experience for him and also for the whole team. So thank you for your prayers.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, very much. Wow. If you don't know it, Steve is a surgeon. He's a doctor in Sioux City, Iowa, I believe. Saw his face on the TV here not too long ago. He doesn't even know he was on there.
I don't follow the news.
So we're just glad that I tell him he's like the wind. He's like the Holy Spirit. You never know when he's going to show up. He's here some Sundays and he's gone some Sundays, but we're glad that he's here today. What does STEM stand for?
Siouxland Tanzania Educational Medical Ministry.
Okay. Everybody can say that together. Well, thank you so much. I heard that there was a lot of guys at the men's breakfast yesterday. How many were there? 17?
At least.
I was not there. Our leader, Dean Ramsey, calls from Las Vegas, wondering if I made it to the men's breakfast. He also asked Jeff Kyle if he was there. Jeff made it. I told him, I'm just too tired. I can't make it today. So I was not there, and then they tell me there was that many guys there. I go, good night. If Dean wasn't there and I wasn't there, I mean, it could have been two more if he'd have been around. But you know, we got to tell Dean, he's got to start paying attention to where he's at. He doesn't have to worry about things here. Just be with the family out there in Nevada. So, I just want to also let you know that this past Wednesday, Amy Johnson had called or had texted the Joy Kids and the Joy Us Kids that were here at the after school program throughout the year. And just wanted to get them together to do some fun things with them. And there were 17 of them that showed up. And 8 adults that also came. I'm sure there are probably adults that have also helped on Wednesday nights with these kids. But the kids just ate it up like Cracker Jacks. First they tried to go Cracker Jacks are. But they just love. Some of the kids didn't even want to go home after it was just 2 hours from 9 to 11 o'clock in the morning. And so I just want you to know that, you know, there's some things that are happening that we're not really sure what God's up to, but he's doing something great amongst the kids as well and the teachers. So next Sunday is another one of those Sundays that we don't know what's going to take place. We're going to have Mandy Roger with us. She's a gal from Sheldon, Iowa, who has been in Romania for about the last 7 to 8 years. And she's going to be here showing some pictures and talking about what she did as a missionary there in Romania and how the refugees from the Ukraine who also entered into Romania, how that has changed things for the mission there. So she's going to be here. She does not come to get any kind of finances or money or anything like that. There's not a plea that she's coming with. She said, I just want to come and thank the people who have been giving to her since she's been in Romania. Her assignment is changing, where she's going to be in the States here in the next coming months. And she can talk about that when she's here. But she's got a heart that I go like, you know, it's wonderful to hear from somebody like you to just coming just to meet the people. And if anybody wants to talk to her afterwards, that's entirely up to you type of a thing. But she's going to be here next Sunday, so I will probably not be preaching because she'll take up all the time. And if she doesn't take up all the time, I'll ask her questions. So that she will go on. Just want you to know that. So be mindful of that next Sunday. And other things that are in the bulletin, just keep in mind the prayer, the things that are under the prayer requests there. Deb Nissen and the family, the loss of Terry this past week or so, and funerals on Friday down in Spencer. Marlene Jass, it's Curtis's wife, who's going through some swallowing issues, and there's a lump on her throat that's also doing something, and that's a real concern that they have there. And then just for Steve and Anna Moore, as their granddaughter, Aspen Sky, is still in intensive care in Colorado Hospital, but she's improving. And so we'll keep that in mind. So let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone that is here today. And Lord, we know that there's always things that we don't know about, and there's burdens that come here today that you know every heart that's here. And we just want you, Lord, to meet the needs that have come with people here today, all different kinds. If it's the loss of a loved one, if it's not being able to swallow or something else going on, it means doctor visits that take place. You, Steve and Anna, as well. You are the miracle worker, and we don't always understand everything that you do and that you don't do, and things we pray about. And sometimes the prayers are answered, and sometimes the prayers are not. We don't understand these things on this side of eternity, but one day we will. Pray that you also be with Norma and the family that has lost Madeline as well. Even though it has taken place, you know, it's the days ahead that will be rough days. There will be some tough days. And people sometimes forget about that. They just think, well, I should probably get over it by now. But Lord, you never get over a loss of someone. that's with you for the rest of your life. And we just pray that you be of those that are going through these kinds of things here today. Thank you for being a God that always provides and makes a way for us, if we know it or not. And may we see the way today of what you want your church to be, the purpose of your church. We'll find out about that a little bit later. And to be with our communion service, Lord. It's a time where we just come close to you, and you come close to us through your body of and blood that is partaken by faith. So we just pray these things and pray it to be with our praise band and the singing and everyone here, that we draw close to you because you are here. As we said in that first song, we come to worship you because you are here. May that be the case here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
With those words you share, indeed, praise the name of Jesus, which is a new song for us. We'll be sharing it in worship in the next few weeks. So tonight, today, we introduce it to you. If you happen to know it, please try it with a band right away. If not, just listen and know that indeed we come here to this place to praise the name.
Where Jesus rose,
You're going to sing it again? Okay. That's just a preview of what's going to be taking place this month, right? New song.
Song of the month.
All right, thanks, Bob. And the team there, just want to go over the confession and the forgiveness of sins here before our communion today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our heart by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take some time of silence that you can spend with the Lord, sharing with him what is in your heart and where you are at here today with him in silence. Lord, we thank you for the confessions that you have been able to hear and where they come from. We know that we could be here a lot longer confessing, just to be in your presence. And we know that you know everything about us today and every day. So we come to you, most merciful God. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought or word and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and redeem us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, Steve. I forgot three announcements as I was sitting here thinking. First one, we have two birthday girls here today. We're not going to sing happy birthday to them, but just want to recognize it's their birthday today. Do you know who they are? Of course, you know who they are, so I won't mention their names. Let's go to the next announcement. It's Lynn Kelly. It's her birthday today, and it's Enid's birthday as well. And Trey's birthday. Man, I didn't know that. Trey, it's your birthday. Well, happy birthday. How old are you?
16.
16? I can ask that of a guy. I won't ask the others. Well, congratulations on your birthday. And sitting next to Trey is Godlieb. She is from Tanzania, so I forgot to mention her today, that we're glad that she's here. She works out at the Ingham Bible Camp here in Okoboji as a counselor. And she's been here for a week. Can you imagine the culture shock it is from coming from Tanzania to Milford, Iowa? And she goes, "You do church so much different here than what I'm used to." This is the beginning of hour number three. We're going to be here for 3 hours today. Only kidding. In Tanzania, there for a long time, right? A long time. There's a lot of drums and beating and dancing around. I mean, it's amazing. Everyone should go there. I would go there, but I'm too old. And so, but I'll go if Chuck Tilber goes. You know, you're going?
Got a ticket.
Okay, I'll go if Oracle Belkin goes. And also, just to thank Charlie Hurdle for being the church secretary for 12 years. Thank you for all that you've done over the years. And we're having some cookies and things afterwards. And fellowship all following the service in honor of her today and say your thank yous to her. And, you know, Dean Ramsey was supposed to do this. But of course, he's never here when he needs to be here. Dean, I hope you're listening to us by Zoom. But Dean did say, "I'm not going to be there, so could you just say something nice?" What I would say to Charlie, I said, "Okay, I just did." So if you could stick around afterwards and just thank her, that would be just wonderful. And say whatever you want to say to her as well. That would be just great. But we do appreciate her. And it's really different to come to the church and not have a church secretary. It's, I go like, now what? So we will be in that process of finding one here hopefully soon. But at this time, there's nothing on the radar screen. So that's one of the three things I just want to make sure that you know about here today. I do invite you to stand as we hear God's word today. It's found, it's the very last words found in the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 28, 16 through 20. And if you can't stand, that's fine too. Those of you that can, invite you to do so. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted." How can that be? "Then Jesus came to them and said," listen to these words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Wow, Lord, these are great words. They were great when you spoke them for the disciples to hear. They're still great words for us in 2023 to hear again and again and over and over. Use them this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If I asked you today, what is the purpose of the church, you might say one of these things. It is to put people to sleep. That happens. The purpose of the church is to take your money. Have you heard that one? So all they're interested in is getting my money. They're always asking for this or for that. How about in order to grow your business or to make, you've got to have some contacts. So find a church that's got a lot of people in it, and those can be potential people who could be your future contacts for your business so it becomes successful. That's the reason why you go, just to see people that you can call on or will come to your store or business. The church is to show others that you are religious and a very good person. That's why you go. Others like to criticize the pastor and criticize those who attend. I think they like to criticize those who do not attend because they feel good. They're attending, and the ones that aren't attending are not as good as they are. I've heard of having roast preacher for dinner on Sundays. God knows. How about to keep people busy with potlucks and refreshments after church? Hear that, Dean Ramsey? He's our potluck guy. I've been to some churches that say, like, that's the wrong word to use. It should be pot blessing. We don't believe in luck. It should be a pot blessing. And then the church, the purpose of the church is to make people's lives miserable. Heard that one. And then there's one other one. The last one here is the church is never, ever, ever to promote sin. The church is never to promote it, to be on the side of sin. But it promotes the love of God and His grace that will set us free from our sins, whatever that may be. If you've heard the two words, it's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission is what you have here said by Jesus in Matthew. It is a mission statement of the church. It is what the church is to be about and to be doing. And if you're not doing these things that Jesus is saying, guess what? You are disobedient to His word. You are in your own la-la land. Because this is what the church really stands for. It is to go, even if it's to Tanzania, Africa, it's to go. It can be to a different street in Milford, Iowa. It can be a different country. It can be an island. We're to go. God calls people to go. It may not be you, but then again, you can help somebody to get to where God is calling them to go if God lays that on your heart as well. Remember, the church is not man's idea. The church is God's idea. And Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head. Never forget that. And He can do amazing things when you yield your life and heart to Him. Now, some of you say, well, I'm retired. I'm not going anywhere. I moved here to the Great Lakes of Iowa, and it's a great place to live, and I don't get bothered by anybody because I moved away from everybody I know, and now I do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's okay. God knows that that's your mentality. But it doesn't mean He will not give up on you. He may have some other ideas for you in your life as well. So the purpose of the church is really this: to see people get saved. That is the purpose of the church. That should be the number one priority. Interested in getting people saved. Having their sins to be forgiven, knowing whatever that sin is, that Jesus died for that sin. And he can set you free from that. He can forgive you of your guilt. He can forgive you whatever may be going on in your life. We need forgiveness, don't we? There's nothing that will set you free than to know that you've been forgiven, whatever it may be. You will not be set free until you confess that sin and let God have his way in that part of your life, whatever it may be, in your heart. So it's a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem that we all have. We're all the same. We're all sinners. Even if you're saved today, you're still a sinner. And you know that probably better than anyone else. Have you ever noticed that when you've gotten saved or you want your life to grow spiritually, the more you get closer to Jesus, guess what you see in your life? You see more dirt. You have a bathroom in your house. Do you know the lighting is different in the bathroom than in any other room in the house? You find that the lighting in the bathroom, it's brighter. It shows you more of your imperfections. Or you go like, well, I need to put something here so that people don't see that. I always say, like, you see what you get. I mean, what you get is who you see. But the closer we get to Jesus, he's the light of the world, we're going to find we see more dirt, more sin in our lives as well that humbles us. And sometimes we say, like, I never thought I had that much dirt in my heart. But Jesus will expose that. He will show us what that is so that we may receive his forgiveness. That's what he wants us to go. That's where he wants us to go and how we're supposed to get rid of it. We come to him. That's a humbling thing to do. What is the whole month of June? The whole month of June is what? Yeah. It never used to be that. It used to be just one weekend in June. Now, pride, what's the middle letter of pride?
I.
How does God look at I? Is it really about I, or is it about him? About who God is, what God says in his word. Sin is the same thing. Middle letter for sin is I. When your life is always turned on who you are, and that's all that matters is you, which means I, we're on the wrong track. Wrong track. Not a popular thing to say today, but I say it's true. Like I said before, there's two things that God wants us to be a part of when it comes to his church. The purpose of his church is to go and to make disciples. That is what Harbor of Joy needs to be about. And we do a lot of things in that line throughout the year, which I'm glad to say that. There's always room for more to get involved. But But God wants to empower us to go, and he will also do in us and work through us what only he can. If you'd have told me 40 years ago, not even that long ago, if you'd have told me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that I'd be living in Iowa and be a pastor in a church, I would have said, you're crazy. Ain't gonna happen. God has a way of doing things that we cannot see or understand until it happens, and then you look back and you go like, oh yeah. I'm here because God called me here. It's never anything I ever wanted. Interesting how God works. You find that with those who say they want to be missionaries. You find those that want to go and start a church someplace. It's all dependent on what God does in them and through them as far as what happens. I've never been a missionary, but I wanted to be. I remember going to the president of the synod that I used to belong to. And I talked to the president, and I said, I want to be a missionary to Africa. How can I do that? And he said, well, what do you have for a degree in college? And I'm going, like, I don't have any college. 1 year at that time. I had 2 years of Bible college. He goes, no, you got to have some kind of a degree in order to become a missionary in some other country. That burst my bubble. So then I kind of said, well, thanks for your time, but I guess I don't know what's going to run and go from here. But then it was over time, hearing from other people, a lot of them are older people, who said, Tim, when are you going to go to seminary? And I would laugh at them. I'd say, like, don't go there. Because I'm not going to be one. I'm not going to be a pastor. But it takes time, and you see God at work. And sometimes it works that way. You have to think about things where, like, circumstances come into your life that you go, like, yeah, maybe I'll be open to that now. I was a youth pastor to begin with. We just got married out of Bible college, Sharon and I, and we went up to Botno, North Dakota. And one of the first, this is when youth pastors were in the beginning stated, you know, churches never used to have youth pastors. And so the church there said, would you be interested in becoming our youth pastor? The first thing I said was, I don't want to preach on Sunday. They said, you don't have to worry about that. We have a pastor here that will take care of that. You just come and spend time with the kids. You have a Bible study with them on Wednesday night. You pray with them. If you can, lead them to the Lord. But you just spend time with kids. And I said, well, I could do that. I was in my 20s at that time. And it was a great ministry for 6 years. Until the pastor called me in his office and said, well, Tim, I think you need something else to fall back on because you're not going to be able to be a youth pastor your whole life. I go, really? I can't think of doing anything else. I love this job. He goes, no, I think you should consider going to seminary. I said, oh, shucks. You got to be kidding me. And so, I mean, that's how it kind of all started. And I thought he was just trying to get rid of me because I was enjoying the people in the church just as much as he was. And the people were enjoying me. So I kind of go like, so, wow, this is awesome, but I sure did not expect this turn to take place in my life. Because one, we had 2 girls at that time, and I go, the first thing that came to my mind was financially. How in the world can we move from Botno to Fergus Falls, Minnesota, take on the cost of seminary, and then to provide for my family? I go, it's just out of the question. But when God calls, he's just asking if you are willing to join him. There was a trustee that stopped over at our house one night. He was a big farmer in the area, and he said, Tim, what's keeping you from going to seminary? I mean, this guy never stopped by our house, ever. I said, well, it's the money. How in the world can I support my family? Da, 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 da. He goes, is that your only reason? I go, like, easy for you to say. He said, if finances, if money is the only reason why you don't go to seminary, that's no reason not to go. And I said, okay, well, thanks for stopping by. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Well, little did we know at the time, but it worked out right. I was going to go to seminary. We were going to leave. I had resigned from the church. And then that night, I did not know that they were going to do this. They had the pastor got up and just said, well, it was a going away party for Sharon and I and the two girls. And they just said, well, we're going to take an offering tonight that will go towards Tim's seminary education for 3 years. You know, and they said, at that time, he said, it would be $10,000 for 3 years to go to seminary, which to me was like way beyond anything I could ever think of. And so they took an offering that night. And then they announced it to everyone who was there. They said, well, the offering tonight was $10,000. I'm going, my seminary is paid for. God confirming that that's where I need to go. And then there was a youth position opened up in the campus church. They needed a youth pastor because the other one was resigning and moving somewhere else, and they needed someone, and I applied for that job and got that. We lived in a parsonage. And Sharon worked for the president, the same president that told me I could not be a missionary. She worked for him part-time as I studied. God can do amazing things that we do not see at the time. And I just want you to know, I'm an example of that. And there's probably others who would say the same thing. It'll be interesting to see what Mandy's going to say next Sunday. How does a girl from Iowa end up in Romania? I want to know that. Well, to make disciples, that is our mission statement that Jesus gives. And he tells us how we do that. He says we're to baptize in the name of the triune God, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But this is just the beginning, it's not the end. Now, in the Lutheran tradition, we baptize infants. It's the beginning of faith, and that's where Sunday school then becomes very important for our youth. We teach them what's in the Bible. We teach them the lessons that we find in the scriptures. Then you have got confirmation. You know, those are things that you build upon that are important to the youth. And we just go by, that's what Jesus says here. Baptize. What does it say here? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that goes on with, what does the Bible teach? And that's what we teach the kids. We don't want them to forget that as they get older. And then they become a part of the church, not because they have to, but because they want to. And something's happened in the last few decades that kids don't want to come to church anymore. Parents don't go, so their kids don't go to Sunday school. Just weird stuff. I'm glad we do have some kids that really want to be a part of the church. And they love you guys. Some of you they met. But they love you. Because they see something completely different than what they see in their own home. They see caring and concern and love and touch You know, they don't hear out of your mouths what they hear from their own parents. This is a different place. As all churches should be like that. That's the importance of prayer, coming together for praying, for Bible studies, for fellowship and worship together. It's all centered around God's Word. All around God's Word. So very important. And so the life that we live is to reflect God's character. Because God is the only one who can change us and to make us more the way that He wants us to be. It's called justification, which is, I teach the confirmation kids, it's a period. Justification happens the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. It's done. You are justified, just as if you never sinned. Period. But then you have sanctification, which is dot, dot, dot. Which means it goes on and on and on. Sanctification is a process, a lifelong process of becoming more like Jesus. None of us are perfect. Only God is. And it is His doing to make us who He wants us to be. We think of the fruits of the Spirit we find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Check yourself out with these, you know. How is it when it comes to loving others? What is your love quotient in your life? Do you love everybody? Liar, liar, hands on fire. There's people you know. Be honest, because God knows who they are. Joy, peace, patience. Are you a patient person? That's part of the fruits of the Spirit, is being patient. Are you patient? Or are you going to have things done your way or the highway? Patience. Only God can bring that about in your life. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the 9 fruits of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to work and make happen in your life. Throughout your lifetime. He wants us to talk about Jesus as the Messiah or Jesus as the Christ. And we talk about His resurrection, how He rose again on the 3rd day. And He rose into heaven, descended into heaven. And He's promised to be with us through the thick and the thin, even though we do not see Him. And so that's what faith is all about. Faith that is alive. It changes you from the inside out. Faith that's alive will change you from the inside out. Changes your heart. If that's not happening, something's wrong. Something's wrong. God's promise to you and to me is when Jesus says, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I like that. He never gives up on us. But He's with us to the very end of the age. So the final point, the final thought here this morning is this. The life that you live will tell you that you're either a missionary or a mission field. Have you heard that before? You are either a missionary today or your mission field. Which one is it? It can't be in between. It's either or. Today's a great time if you say I'm a mission field. Well, we come to the Lord's table to receive the forgiveness of sin. We confess. Today's a good day to say, you know, I am going to be a missionary starting today. I'm going to become a believer today. I'm not a mission field. A mission field means you need someone to come and point out some things in your life that you are really lost. You're going to hell because of your sin. You send yourself there. And then God will just say, hey, I tried everything I could. But that you refuse to believe. So therefore, you've chosen your own eternity. But God tried and did everything he could, even sent his one and only son, and he did not save him on the cross, but he died on the cross, but rose again on the third day. So either you are a missionary or a mission field. Let's pray. Lord, I have no idea what you are doing here in the sanctuary right now in the lives of people who have heard this message today. It may be a whole new thought. Am I a missionary? Am I a real believer in Jesus Christ? Or am I really a mission field? I need to be converted. I need a change in my heart and mind if I am a mission field today. But God, you know that I want to be a missionary. So will you come and forgive me of my sins? I need Jesus Christ, and I invite him into my life, into my heart. And Lord, show me. Show me and enable me to live the way that you want me to live. Thanks for hearing this prayer. Thanks, Lord, for what you're doing. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. I am very happy. This is supposed to be a short sermon. Because it was convenient. I know I saw it for now. But we got to do what we got to do here. Let us stand and recite the Apostles' Creed before we take communion today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and I apologize for keeping you past him. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he picked up the bread. And he broke it. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body given for you. Eat it. Eat all of it until I come again." He then picked up the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink it until I come again." And so they did this together. We're to do this from that day on until he comes again. And that's why we're doing it today. Some churches have communion every Sunday. Some have communion twice a month. Being Lutherans, once is enough. The first Sunday is when we come together. But it's a very special time because it's really one-on-one with you and God. He knows everything about you. He invites you to come to his table. And that's up to you. You don't have to come if you don't want to. is interested in you and your spiritual life. So we are going to do that. Just want to remind people that the ones who had signed up to help serve today's communion are not here. So therefore, if you have been on the city, not on the city council, if you've been on the church council, have served any time, and you're still off of it, you're needed up here. Just need four of you. Two down here, two up here. If you want to hold a basket for people to put their cups in, then probably be three down here, three up there. It was entirely up to you. If you want to have grape juice versus wine, you just hold your hand like this. The people who are serving it will see that. They will give you grape juice. If you don't do that, you get wine. Either or, it's okay. You come up here to do the baskets? Oh, great. You can't hear the red priestess. There's a basket up here. And then, Iris, you can hold this one here, okay? You can stand right there. Carter, come up here. Don't move. Just stay right there. Don't go anywhere, Iris. Is that right? So we will clean our hands here. And then someone will invite you to come. We encourage kids to come up, not to take communion, because we want you to know what communion is all about by going through confirmation. But if you do come up, kids, I mean, you do get a blessing. So, I mean, it's not that you do get something when you come up front. So, with that said, someone will usher you forward, and if you can't make it up here because of your physical handicap that you might have, we will be noticing that at the end. Make sure that you get served if that is what you want. So with that, let us have communion together. You can come up front if you want to and kneel and stay as long as you want, or you can come up and stand and go back and sit down where you want to go, or even where you sat before, that's fine too. So, two stations.
Thank you.
crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the grace of our God, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God's peace.